the Bimbo podcast. Now, Anthony.
I cut off really quick. And Jared.
What's happening, Jared?
Och, mate, here. I am loaded with some sort of man flu, cold.
It's not man strep flu, throat. You wouldn't be here. With man flu, would be getting the priest in for the last time.
Listen, you've got the. You're on three burners on the gas heater.
Three burners going for about 40 minutes.
Three burners. We've got the big light here, the lights behind us.
Your fleece.
And the cobwebs, because it's Halloween.
It's not because they haven't been cleaned in months.
Here, breaking news yesterday. Hocus Pocus 2 is in the works with the original writer and the original cast.
This is the end.
Right. I'd seen that.
Yeah.
I thought that they announced that last year and the year before, and I thought they announced Beetlejuice the same way that they were redoing it, and I've been waiting each Halloween for Beetlejuice 2 and Hocus Pocus 2.
I think they actually announced it this time though, before it was like that Facebook.
Goodbye.
Just
Facebook Live?
Goodbye.
I don't know what
Facebook
click on.
Clickbait.
But, yeah, and we've got those stuff, well, I'm getting rid of it.
It's just really kicking about. So, we had an episode planned for today, and it sort of fell apart.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you other reasons why, but it fell apart because people can't read properly. But, Ado is going to save the day because I'm not well, and he's going to tell you all about his
paranormal experiences!
Probably can't even make that out because it was
should've just
mumbled.
A Paul Bearer? Oh, yes!
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Paul. This podcast is going to be a lot of me talking. So if you really like me
talking. Strep throat, guys. I've strep throat.
If at any stage you want to jump in with anything.
I'll probably ask a few questions here and there.
Yeah.
I've got my tin of boosted already. We've got the heating on for me. You offered me beetsums, but I can't have that.
No. I can't do nothing. But.
And just remember, your health is your wealth, folks.
That's it.
Get well to all those who are unwell.
So this time last year, what did we do the episode on? The origins of Halloween. And
you know what? I'm gonna release that.
Re-release it. Boom.
On. That you pick a day because it's already in the can. It's already done.
Do the 2nd of November, because then it's past the.
Okay.
All Hallows Eve and Spurs.
Then Christmas.
And then you'll listen back and you'll be like, oh my god, that was so educational for me and George. Thanks very much for teaching us that. Also, go back and listen if you're looking for something spooky to listen to on Halloween. The one on Ouija boards and the origins of the Ouija board.
It was a great episode too. All these flashbacks now. Remember we used to be committed and doing this on the regular and
committed and capable. Performing and transforming.
Yeah, we're going to performance manage ourselves here.
So, we'll start with me. Well, we're going to just talk about me. But I got into the paranormal about 4 years ago. I tried to join two teams. So I did. I'd done a lot of public events like Crumlin Road Jail and the, you know, Queen Street, there's a old police station there, used to be the first ever hospital.
Yes, I remember
Surgeons
you
hospital.
They applied to try and
yeah.
get in that, didn't
you? Yeah. So, I done them, and growing up, I've always loved paranormal type shows. And I remember somebody asked me, what got you into the paranormal? And when you sit and you think back about it, seeing that I was growing up, I loved Scooby-Doo, right? So to me, that was my first foray into the paranormal. I love things like Goosebumps, or Do You Remember? Are You Afraid of the Dark? That was an unbelievable show. I remember as a kid watching it, used to sit around a campfire
and tell a story,
and then at the end they got the bucket of water and poured it out.
I used to read the Goosebump books, and then Are You Afraid of the Dark? Was that on, like, Trouble? That's what the channel was, or
could have been Trouble.
Channel 29. Yeah, it was pretty.
Might have been. But Tales of the Crypt, do you ever watch that?
I think I have.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. Was it like, I just remember the stupid writing on it.
it tells the Crips, like, the old boy who's, like, you know, with, like, six strands of grey hair, looks like your granda, who's been severely dehydrated after a weekend on the base. And remember Fact or Fiction? Your boy used to come on the show and used to give you scenarios, you know, is this real, is it not? And then they go back and they tell you if it was a real life story or if it was fake. And then after that, just shows, like, remember Most Haunted? I never missed an episode of Most Haunted when I was growing up. I mean, we used to be on Living at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock every Tuesday. Religiously used to watch it. Then, obviously, other shows come out, like Ghost Hunters, and then, what do you call the big one? Ghost Adventures, things like that. Just always loved watching them. Now, I know the ones on TV are severely dramatised, and they say that's, you know...
Listen, I hear some of the ones locally, are potentially set up and staged.
Yeah. And that,
I don't know that for a fact, I'm just assuming. And I didn't hear from you before anybody contacts that though. It says here, did you tell them that? No, we didn't.
I went and done the Crumlin Road Jail and really enjoyed it. The... You put me off my train of thought there, what was I saying?
Oh wow,
I've lost my train of thought already. But the TV shows then... Obviously with Facebook coming about and the public investigations, it got very popular, very mainstream. And
this time last year you were on City Beat.
I'll get to all that and stuff at the end, so well. But the two teams I applied for, one was Shadowhunters with Farrell McDonald, real good guy, and Paranormal Investigators LA. I ended up joining the latter of the two. With the one in Shadowhunters, they took me on like a trial to see how I would get on, and there was a location that not many people have been in, and I got access to it. Armagh Jail, the first women's jail, and it was amazing. Also tried to start my own wee team, do you remember, wee guy?
I do.
Also Paranormal Investigators with Saoirse.
I was just trying to work out the acronym there.
Yeah. It was really, really good, and we had our colours, our team colours and all sorted. It was
colours. Of course you had colours.
Of course you did.
Three letter organisation with colours, imagine.
I know, in this wee country. But then I got the chance to join the PINI, Paranormal Investigators Northern Ireland.
Another acronym. Close to...
And see on the we had the uniform, see on the side of it, you had your P.I.N.I. See at a quick glance, it looked like PSNI, and see when you wore it out, people always looked at you or questioned you. So,
some people may help with you.
After, once I got into the P.I.N.I., just started as a normal person. My cousin actually got me into it, she was in the team, I didn't realise, and I was messaging them. So, went on a wee trial with them, they were like, oh my god, Ashley, you're absolutely amazing. Would you come and be on our team? And very quickly became lead investigator, as in the boy who organises everything. And for a while I was running the team, up until last year, till my mum passed away, and it was just too much for me at the time to try and take it all in. But that's how I get into Paranormal Investigating. Part of the reason I like PINI so much is the way that they approach things. So Paranormal Investigators Northern Ireland, if you go onto the Facebook, they have a great page and community on there. What they're trying to do, they're trying to prove and disprove hauntings. A lot of the time things can be explained. So whenever you're out doing public investigations, if you have members of the public, hysteria can just spread very quickly. So what you always want to try and do is break people up so that they're out of their comfort zone, but they aren't going to fall back into the road. You know, if they see their friend and then they're grabbing their friend and they're going to scare their friend, they tend to remain a lot more level-headed. So what we done in PINI, we worked off the theory of the electromagnetic field, EMF. Okay, there's a load more acronyms coming up here, so if you need to pause and find out what they are, just work away. So EMF, electromagnetic field, basically everything emits electromagnetic energy, whether it's your phone, your sockets, whatever, any form of electricity in the house. Great example. See if you walk into a room after someone's had an argument and you can feel the tension. That's energy. That is energy.
Makes sense, I never thought of it like that.
So whenever you try and explain to people what it is, you know, I personally believe in an afterlife and I believe in energy. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven and hell. The word angel or demon, I think, is basically another word for a good spirit and a bad spirit. So if you're a good person in normal life, like in this meat vessel, then when you die you'll be a good person. If you're an absolute knob alive, you'll be an absolute knob in the afterlife. I just believe the soul, the spirit, it just goes to a different,
lives on.
Yeah, it just goes to a different field of energy that we can't get. And people go, oh, it's a load of shit. Well, how do you get your radio on? How do you get your internet on your phone? You know, there's energy there that's in front of you that you can't see. So for me, it's just about energy and trying to harvest that energy. Mediums, like we've had the medium Paul McVicker on. I know a lot of people are mediums. I know a lot of people that say they're mediums, but I don't believe them. David Mead, another guest. You know, David Mead's a body language expert. You know, he can get from you information just by talking at you. You don't even have to interact with him. So you don't. And he can put all this information out of you, relay it back, and you go, oh my God, oh my God. How do you know that? I do believe mediums exist, but I believe a very small percentage of people have that skill. A lot of people say like their gut instinct. That's to me a way to channel into that energy. You may not know how to work it, but if you focus on it, it's like a muscle, it can be trained. So to me, if you really want to be in tune, you can, you just need to open yourself up. Because when I first went into the field, I just wanted to go in and prove everything was wrong. Having a level of skepticism is very healthy and very important. Like I said, hysteria can spread very quickly. And the power of suggestion, advertisers work on the power of suggestion. So that's why so many firms are so big, because they'll plant one wee bit of information and it spreads. Do you know what I mean? So back to the EMF, whenever we go into a location with PINI, we'll go and look for places that might have high EMF. So it might be exposed cables that aren't insulated properly, or they just don't have a casing around them. See, if you're exposed to high levels of EMF, you're going to feel a lot of sensations that seem paranormal in nature, but actually aren't. So you may feel paranoid, you may feel like someone's watching you, you may feel sick, you may feel dizzy, things like that. At times, a lot of people will say them things, but realistically, it's just bad cabling in your house. Or if you're overexposed to too much of it. So if you're working, say, somewhere that has a lot of hard drives and things like that, a lot of cables, a lot of networking, if you're working there, I guarantee whenever you go out of work, you'll feel completely different. You won't feel as anxious, because you aren't getting all that energy muddling up what your brain's trying to process. You with me so far?
Yeah.
So another great
thing. Trying to think of how you're feeling in your ear room. Okay. Surrounded by technology.
Well, I love helping people enjoy amazing technology.
Like, you're saying that things with all his energy will make you feel a certain way. Have you felt any difference in your...
So much better.
You actually feel better for it?
Like, I actually feel... I know it sounds really stupid, but... Do you ever see, like, the Coke adverts where they unscrew the lid and then, like, all the writing comes out of it? That's what I feel like, because the store I was in...
Be able to flourish.
Yeah.
The store you're in now is so open. That's
yeah.
What I like about it.
It's open, it's free, you can move. Before, it was darker and almost claustrophobic in a way.
Well, I've been there, I felt
yeah.
It.
So...
Damp, smelled...
Things like that, but what we try and do, like, explain things to people. We never really done personal cases because so many things in a house, things like high EMF, you know, exposed to things. Like, see, when you watch a lot of shows, you'll see that the basement, the, you know, the cellar, that's where all the electrical stuff is. And they say, oh, I feel like there's a dark presence down there. Well, obviously the room's dark, and then you're getting those sensations that I explained, you know, the paranoia, the feel like someone's watching you, things like that. You're just being exposed to the EMF. Or if you move into a new house, wood, like if your house has a timber frame, the amount of creaking that you're going to hear, your floorboards, especially in the winter, when it's darker,
it smells.
Your subconscious starts playing up because it's darker, quicker. People used to have to fight. See, whenever it got dark, they were prone to more attacks. See that, it's called morphic resonance. So it's a subconscious fear or thought that you have in your head from generations upon generations. Like, women can see seven shades of red, men can't. The reason being, they used to pick berries. They had to pick the ones that weren't poisonous for their kids. There's a guy, Rupert Sheldrake, goes into it all. He's a whole big study on it. If you want to learn what morphic resonance is, that's pretty much it. But your house, if it, there's wood, wooden floorboards, with the heat, they expand and contract. So as the house heats up or cools down, and when it's cooling down, it's going to be night time when you're sitting there in the dark. Things like that.
Or it gets Baltic and cold.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you're, like, you're just trying to explain that to people. A big thing as well, see if spirit is present.
Enjoying this, isn't it?
The see where spirit's concerned, it's a lot of control. A lot of it's based around control, right? See, if you want to get rid of something, a lot of time you have to reclaim that. It's like, I would never, if the door was open, I would never say come in if there was nobody there, because you don't know what you're inviting in, right? It's like we talked about with the Ouija board. You don't need a piece of cardboard and a triangle to bring something in. You can invite something in unintentionally or willingly. So if you want to take control, one thing you can do, sage the place, or get incense candles, burn them, walk around all the rooms. So walk in, go around the walls, bring it out, bring it back out the front door. So from you start from one point, you've cleansed the whole house, walk out the door, put the sage out the door and tell that spirit to leave. But you have to do it in a convincing manner. You have to take control and ownership of that place. So you do.
I
think that's enough background on it. Well, we're going to start into the places.
I was literally going to say that because it's good 20 minutes in now.
So
Anthony is going to tell us. Have you visited all these places?
Yes.
He's going to go through five places that he's visited that obviously resonated with him, and he actually felt that
to me,
maybe something
it's
there.
The most activity, right? So it's what I've taken the most away from, and that can be, see, the thing about the paranormal, there's so many things. I'll explain. See, you won't be able to feel it.
I can see your passion. I can feel your passion.
You feel it? You feel the energy?
I do.
It's
passionate energy.
See, whenever you're there, how you feel is completely different. And see, when the lights go off in a place, it changes
the perception,
very
quickly.
Yeah. So
it does. I'm sure in here, like with all the lights and stuff, I'm just starting to feel cold really quicker.
So
crack on there, Anthony.
I'll give a wee bit of background on them. One or two of them, the background on them is going to be a lot longer than the rest of them, but I'll do that and then I'll have some experiences. So, first place was White's Tavern in the town.
I want you to tell me the first time you remember visiting it as well.
How do you mean?
Like, the first time you went there as a paranormal investigator, what your first experience of it?
So West Tavern, when I first went there, I just thought, it's okay, you know, I know there's, once I found out the history of it, my perception changed, because, like I said, I believe in a lot of energy. So, see around High Street in Belfast, right? Obviously, you have the docks just down. A lot of them streets were like Amsterdam, had canals and things like that, and the bridges over, right? So, people would have been able to go up on boats and visit all the different taverns, right? This Witch Tavern was the first bar in Belfast to be granted a liquor license. It was 1630, and see that whole wee street? It was called the Wine Cellar Entry because there was a couple of taverns along there. It's now an iconic part of the city because I think it's the oldest pub. I know definitely in Belfast. It's not Kelly Cellars, it's White's Tavern. It's one of the oldest.
Still active?
Active in Ireland as well. So there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of people coming and going, and spirits feeding off that energy. So some of the experiences that we've had, see in the top floor, there's like a DJ booth, like up above, you know, where everybody would sing, and there's a wee way to get up to it. Up there, from the medium that was there, there was a male spirit that didn't like women.
Okay.
So if nothing was happening, we would have got a female to call him. And that's what's, see about locations, different spirits enter around with
different
people.
Yeah.
You
that's
know?
What you would expect, isn't it? That
come
sometimes, like if something was angry,
yeah,
because of something somebody reminded of them,
yeah,
that it reminded of them of that.
Yeah. Or like if you're a parent, the child might be more likely to come to you. But White's Tavern, you used to get lights coming on and off. Could be a fault of electrics. But whenever you're asking for something to happen, and you know the lights are turned off, and then you're seeing flashes, it's really, really convincing. There was... It's the back entry, right? It's not open to the public. So see when you go into the Witch Tavern on the ground floor, you have to go to the very bottom of the bar where the bar is. There's a wee door just off to it, right? You can then go up them stairs, and it goes up and then round back on itself. They go up to the next floor and it'll be the tortoise of the top floor.
Okay.
But it's for staff only. We had a camera at the halfway point where it turns. So we were shooting down the stairs. And the camera caught a shadow coming from the main bar. And it's like a misty shadow.
Right, okay.
And it just glides across and goes into a wall. Right.
There was, I don't know if it's, I think there was an article weirdly that I read about White's Tavern, probably about 6 months ago, a year ago, and it was a couple from America were over, went to take a picture in the tavern,
mm-hmm.
And
in the window.
No, there was in the picture there was something else there. They're like,
must
be
inside or outside?
Inside.
Okay.
And they said it must have been somebody walking past. That was the initial reaction. But everything else in the photo was clear. And there was no...
You can't get things like flares from cameras.
See,
as you move across quickly, see the cameras? A lot of cameras now will work on facial recognition. So it's picking up your face. It's focusing on you. So if somebody's walking in the background and it has them focused on their face, they're going to come across as like, you know, like a paintbrush that has multiple colours on it, just smeared. That's almost what it looked like.
How was it there?
Yeah, to me that's just somebody who's moving. The camera is, so you look at everybody else in that. The camera's clearly picked them up, right? So you know yourself, working in a phone shop. It hasn't been able to pick that person up. That person may have come in the frame mid-shot and it's trying to capture it, but because they're moving a pace, that's what I was saying, it looks like that, like a brush stroke of mixed paint. So, you'll notice that for somebody who believes in the paranormal, like I say, I have a healthy skepticism.
Well, they said somebody from the Titanic's captain has photobombed them in the bar. That's what they said. I don't know how they got that from that, but
because you're in Belfast and they're American, scared. But that one. Also, see with that bar, Henry, you know Henry John McCracken?
Yes.
His wife is said to be in that bar.
A bride?
No.
Or oh,
spirit.
The ghost?
Yeah. Remember saying yeah, at the start about this one, how there was like all canals and
yeah.
like, all different things. A lot of these places would have operated, you know, as a house above.
Of the...
You know,
yeah.
the bar. And brothels, obviously, were sailors. Prostitution was very high, right? And I swear on whatever you want me to swear on, mother's grave, son's life, fiance's life, me own life, whatever, nieces, nephews, I had my most profound experience in there. We were doing glasswork.
Where is this going?
In White's Tavern. Where do you hear it? And I swear to God, this is true. We were doing glasswork, so you get a glass, tip it upside down, you'd literally just tip it, right? See, you can see it here, see where my finger's bent?
Yeah.
You know where you get the white at the knuckle and then the red at the tip? That means you're putting pressure there, okay? You shouldn't do that. You should literally just be tipping it. And we were doing the glasswork, and I took the money that night for the door, and I had a big wad of notes in my pocket. And we were doing the glasswork and we were calling out for it. We felt like we were getting a prostitute coming through. So I threw the money on the table and I went, is there any prostitutes here? Is there any guards who want to come and spend the night with me? Okay? Done the glasswork. Keep recording.
Oh, 2 seconds.
And.
What? Go ahead. Don't.
Record this bit.
It's recording on audio anyway, don't worry.
So, we stopped the glasswork. Right, I went to the toilets. So went to, it's the door behind me. As you go in the White's Tavern, it's to the left. There's a hand dryer, a sink, a urinal, and then there's a cubicle. And in the cubicle, there's a wee tiny window, right? But there's a cubicle between you and the urinal. The door was closed. Whip the wab out, take a piss, right? And I swear to God. See, from my right hip, like where a gun holster would be, I felt coldness coming the whole way round to my dick and balls. I swear to God, I was groped by a prostitute. Well, there was a couple of hundred notes here. But that is why White's Tavern makes my top 5 list. Number 4.
I'm surprised it's not number 1. Service like that.
Number 4, Wicklow Jail, opened in 1702 and closed in 1924. This jail has a lot of history. The first convict here was a priest who couldn't afford his rates. And a lot of the people who were involved in the Irish Rebellion of 1798 were held here. So there was Joseph Holt and Michael Dwyer, Billy Byrne and James Napier Tandy, Napper Tandy. See the guy Napper Tandy? He was so highly thought of amongst the Irish rebels, right? See, when he went to court, Napoleon himself intervened in his court case with the English Crown, and he organised for Napper Tandy to be deported to France and he wouldn't be involved in the rebellion anymore. Also, see the overcrowding of Wicklow Jail? Like, these cells, they couldn't be much wider than 4 foot, 5 foot, and lengthwise probably about 10 foot, and there was times there was 48 people in them. So you can imagine the sickness and the disease. They used to throw hay down as well.
Hay wasn't what it is now.
No.
Back then, like.
So a lot of people died in the cells. A lot of people, see, whenever you were being deported to Australia or America, Canada, or anywhere the British controlled, they went to Wicklow Jail because it was close to the sea, and then you done your transport from Wicklow Jail. which is really good. On the part of the upper part of the building, there's like a ship built into the room so that you can see what it would have been like. And then obviously there's, because it's a historical site, to go around all the different parts of it, like what life would have been like on board, things like that. This jail was so popular, it had to be expanded twice. 1820 was expanded, and then again in 1836. In 1836, there was £10,000 worth of expansion put into the place. One of the things they put in was a treadwheel. So did you ever see like in a mill, like there's that big wheel that goes round and fills all the water?
Yeah.
It's almost like that, right? But they got people to stand on it, and like a stairmaster. And if you got, you were like shackled in, so you couldn't stop. See, if you did stop, your knees banged off the wood. And punishment, you would have had to do that for 5, 6, 8, 10 hours, depending on how severe the punishment was. Loads of open grounds and stuff in it. You can rent the place out for the night, right? And do your own investigation. There's a security guard and stuff there. But we were doing like this, it's like a vibration experiment. It's not an experiment. It's like you send out the vibration as energy, right? And it's this strange noise just to try and pump energy into the room. So we're all standing with our backs to each cell door on the ground floor.
Yeah.
So I stand on my back to it. And do you ever get like that swaying motion? I was having that. And I didn't know if it was just me being disorientated from focusing too much, or if there was something trying to pull me in. But one thing I've learned in the paranormal, see if you're feeling something, go with it. See where it takes you. So we go, we do the experiment, I'm leaning back in, and I said to Donna, I want to go into that room. Does anybody want to come in here with me? So we walked in, and then the door, and in that cell, each cell tells you a different story. This one was about the Irish Rebellion, and it had weapons, right? And on the back wall, there's like a rack for all the guns and stuff and spears. So I don't know what it was. I was drawn to them, to that weapon section, right? So we're all standing, close the door, we're in pitch black. We've got the wee camera. And I'm standing, right? Like upright, chest out, hands by my side, rigid. I actually remember feeling like it was tightening up. And they said to me, you're almost standing there like a soldier. And I didn't really want to talk. And you know me, talk all the time. So
carrying this episode here,
that
yeah.
was grand. And I was like, this is really, really weird. And I just remember thinking to myself, I don't like these people. And there was four of us in the room. There was me, Don, I think it was Mags, and Gordon, who'd only just come on the team. It was my first time out with Gordon. And I was standing, and I was like, right, I have to move. I kept feeling like I wanted to go back to the weapons, but I was standing there, and I'm looking at Gordon, and I went, I don't like you. And Donna went, because obviously my demeanour changed, and Donna says, love, are you okay? And I went, I want to cut his throat. Yeah. And I was like, this is not me.
It was dark.
And I was like, they turned the light off, because they had like the flash on the camera, and they turned it off, and I went, put that back on. I don't like that I can't see him. And then we were standing there, and I was looking about the room, and I clicked on, it was all the rebellion stuff.
And did you feel like you had like lost control, or did you feel like you were in control?
No, I didn't feel like I was in control. But the only thing that I had was my voice. And that's why I was saying, I don't like you. I want to cut his throat. Turn the light back on. I don't like that I can't see him. And I was standing looking. And I went, me Gordon. Me and, I know them two are Protestant. And I was raised Catholic. Me, you're Protestant? He went, yes, I was raised Protestant. I was like, I mean, we're in a rebellion room. And these are all Protestants who favour the British Crown. And then it drove me, is something connecting with me? and what made it portray that, because obviously if they're British, or this is
nationalism.
So that to me, I was like, one other experience that would come up, that was one of the few times where I've thought I wasn't in control of my body. And it's a very surreal experience. It's almost like...
Or Anthony's a very inclusive person as well, I guess.
It's almost like you're in a wee cage, but you're in a cage inside a big robotic machine. Like you see in cartoons when they're inside a robot.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. And the fact that I just went, I don't like it, and I was standing against the weapons, and I was so rigid.
But you were aware of what...
I knew
it
wasn't in control.
What was happening, but you weren't.
But I wasn't saying anything to them. So it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Next one. This place I love. I've done it twice, right? And I wish I had done it more. This place was voted as the most haunted castle in Ireland. Okay? It's one of the top three in Europe, and one of the top 10 in the world. It's called Lepp Castle, right? Reason it's called Lepp is because see at one side of it, they strategically place it because there's loads of castles around. You've got like Kilkenny Castle and stuff like that. You've got Charleville Castle, and there's a big side of it where it's a drop, but the soldiers would leap, so that's where it gets its name, but it's pronounced Lepp because they leapt from it. Lepp Castle built in 1250. It was built by the O'Bannon clan. So
the Obamas?
No, O'Bannon. And there's things, see, like in Irish history, there's a thing called the Four Annals, the Annals of the Four Masters, right? So these are people who used to record the accounts of everything. And it was recorded the Earl of Kildare, Gerald Fitzgerald, tried to seize the castle in 1513. 3 years later, he attacked it again and partially damaged part of it. See, the family he was fighting, it was called the O'Carroll family, right? This family were ruthless. They played football with the severed heads of victims, right? See, at the top of Lepp Castle, there's a church, right? So obviously, whenever they were going, if they were in the battle, they got the blessing from the priest. But if it was a religious building, it was a lot harder to attack because you were going against the church.
Yeah.
The church had a lot of power, as you know, back then. But the chapel at the top is now referred to as the Bloody Chapel. So the reason it's referred to that, one of the O'Carroll brothers, Tag, he wanted to be the king, okay? His brother, who was a priest, was doing mass. But Tag intentionally went late and turned up and made it out as if his brother was belittling him and trying to cast him out. See, back medieval times, see if you were the next in line, it wasn't uncommon for you to
kill
your brothers,
yeah,
your uncles, or blind them and then hold them hostage. In medieval times, see if you got blinded, like it was a sign that you were...
Isn't that a famous Shakespeare play?
No idea. But they would blind you to make an example of you and then keep you hostage in case they ever needed to use, say, you were making a contract with someone, you would say, well, there's my brother, whatever. But Tag, he killed his brother in the Bloody Chapel. See, till this day, see the ground that's in the chapel hasn't been deconsecrated, can still be used as a chapel. The owner, Sean, lovely fella, right? He had one of his kids christened in the Bloody Chapel. So he did. He bought the place in 1922. There was a massive fire and destroyed like a wee abbey bit at the side of it. A lot of it was destroyed, but he got in the 80s and he's just been rebuilding it by himself. Any funding he gets from tourism and anything he got, he pumps back into the place. Right? So I think that's enough for the history, but it's strategically placed within the lands, right? And you have such a great view. See, if you're going to be attacked, that was me clicking. If you're going to be attacked, you can see everything around you from every angle, right? So we went down. See, when you go down, it's a big wooden door or the big knocker, right? And you go up and you have this.
Or it feels like a castle.
Yeah, and you, to go into the grounds, there's like a big stone archway and there's gates and everything. It's very small, it's more of a tower, not a castle, right? It's a bit like Ross Castle. Ross Castle's more like a tower.
A lot of castles here like that.
Yeah. They were like outposts and go-betweens because you'd have went half a day's travel without seeing people.
Yeah.
Back in the day, so they just had wee posts and things like that. But this, see this location? This has been on almost every single Ghostbuster TV show ever. It's been on Most Haunted, Scariest Places on Earth, Taps, The Ghost Hunters, The Emma's Ghost Adventures, they've all been at it, right? See that O'Carroll family? Right? They had it in the 1500s. See, in the 1600s, they were given land in America by the British to get rid of them. That's how ruthless and feared they were. And one of the boys went on to become the general, the DA, or the district attorney, and
America.
Stuff. Yeah. In Maryland. So, we go down, big knocker, boom, boom, boom. Like a proper,
I'd love that.
Fucking haunted movie shit. Sean comes in. First time you meet him, he's like quiet, and obviously he has lots of people coming up there, so he doesn't know who's who. He brings you in, shows you around the place, gives you a history of it, right? There's loads of stuff about, there's like an elemental here, so it's a spirit that's never been human. Apparently it's been summoned, like, through worship and things like that, okay? A lot of mediums have said that's a load of wank. Personally, I think it is as well. I never came across anything like that. There's the spirit of a girl, a red lady, who walks about with a knife. Okay. We went in, and the number one spot, there's a medium, who a group called Spook Troop Tours, right? They do Kennedy Castle and stuff. I say it's Kennedy, it's Kennedy Castle. It's all around the location. And Jillian, from going to the other place, knows what I'm like, right? Like, I go in and I'll shout and roar and bawl, try and get stuff to happen. I've learned to change that, right? I went in, and straight away, I felt intimidated. I felt, do you ever do something and you get a nervous, sick feeling? No?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Right.
I thought it was just like, you want to continue on because you need the answer.
I started getting that feeling. Right, so we were walking about the place. We had the place to ourselves this time, and we were walking about. She was showing us all the rooms. She was like this, blah blah blah. Get the bloody chapel, and I felt like walking back down the stairs. And Jillian says to me, "Are you all right?" And Donna goes, "Yeah, you look a wee bit funny." And I said to her, I feel like I want to be sick. I felt like after I've come in, I felt like I want to leave the place. And Jillian started laughing, because she knows that I would shout and roar and bawl and be confrontational when it comes to that. And she went, "Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it." And I went, "What do you mean?" And Jillian is full blown medium. Like, she is, the things she knows and does, I've never seen anybody be able to do it. And Lauren, another medium who works with Julian, with Jillian, and Spook Troop Tears, she looked at me and laughed. And I went, right, I'm going to be on my guard here. And I went, is it Tag? Right? Tag down south. It's Tig, if you're from down there, right? I love that name. See, ever since I went there and I found that name out, I don't know if it's like a wee attachment thing or what, but I love that name, but Sinead always cracks up because I say Tag. So, that's grand. We're doing everything. I'm still feeling nauseous. Me, Alan, and a girl who we had trying out for the team at the time, we went upstairs to the bloody chapel. In the bloody chapel, there's a thing called an opulet, okay? It's basically a big pit, okay? And they used to throw people down it and had spikes in it. So he either bled to death or starved to death. I think it was in the 1920s after the fire, they took three cartloads of skeleton remains out of it. There was a watch found in it, so it was probably used up. The watch was 1800s,
right.
So that's probably how recently it was being used, the amulet. So, you know when you get the top of a tower, you see like the windows, right? So you have the four sides. When you come up the stairway within the room, just like that wall behind you, you know, under that separate room?
Yeah.
Obviously, that would be the stairway, just blocking it from the wall being exposed. We were standing with our backs to that, right? We were looking towards the obulette, because apparently you see things coming out of the obulette, things like that. See, when you go into the obulette, it's like a doorway. So, say it's about the width of a door, a door frame, right? And you can see the window. The window's about 5 feet. I'm 5'7". I was taller than the window. The brickwork of the window was different from the pattern of the building. Okay? So you could clearly see the light brickwork. So you're standing looking, you can see it. There's a wee step up. As you stand in the window, if you walk into it, you look out the window. If you look right, there's the obulette. So the three of us were standing with our backs against the wall, looking towards the obulette, okay? Night time, you would hear a car, anything. See the doorway that you would stand in, it's probably about 10 feet. The whole doorway from the left, you've seen it like a curtain being pulled from left to right towards the obulette. The obulette was on the right. The whole thing went pitch black. You couldn't see the window, you couldn't see the brickwork. And we all turned and looked at each other at the same time. And whenever you're ghost busting, you'll know this, you'll turn to somebody and you'll say, did you see that or did you hear that? In unison, we looked at each other and went, did you see that? And we could not explain it. Like I said, there was no cars about, because you would see or hear them. Can't explain it. So that proper scared me. Like, that actually frightened me. It's one of the few times I've actually been frightened ghost hunting. And Alan and the other girl went downstairs, and because it's a spiral staircase, you can hear people. They went down, I collected the camera and the other equipment and stuff that we had, and I heard them saying about, oh, we've seen this, blah blah blah. I don't know what way my face was or what colour was, but I walked into the room. I was still trying to get my head around this, and everybody in the team knows how skeptical I am, and went, yep, he's seen a ghost. And that was the scariest thing that I've ever seen.
Encounter.
Yeah, because I didn't know what it was. I still felt the sick, my knees felt shaky. My whole body was like.
You still feel it when you think about it?
I can feel my knees and my stomach, and I was just, wow. That's what I get into ghost hunting for. See, to be left like that, where I can't rationalise or explain something. Yes, that's why I don't to be frightened. That's what I'm saying. It's very rare that I was ever frightened. So, next one. That castle, absolutely amazing place. There's loads of, if you want to go and investigate it, Spook Troop tours do it all the time. Ask for Gillian, tell her Anto sent you. Next one, right here in Belfast again. Conway Mill.
It's the only one I've ever done.
Conway Mill. Oh my goodness. To explain this place, you need to be in it because the shape of it. So there's like two buildings.
It's huge, though.
Yeah, there's two buildings and there's a back bit and then there's the thing off to the side. To go through all the stories with Conway Mill, I've needed to get the team in because Donna alone.
I don't invite them in.
Well. Donna alone could sit and probably talk for an hour about what she's experienced in the place. But Conway Mill, run through a history of it. Opened in 1842, it was originally like a flax mill, and it was increased upon the size. See where you drive into the Conway Mill now to park your car? See where that is? That's actually lower down. See the original building? It goes lower than that. people don't realise it. See when you go into the main hall and you see the two sides of the building, see if you look along the ground, you see like where the windows would have been, and they've obviously built up. There was a massive fire in the place as well, and a lot of it was destroyed. During the war, there was an increase in demand for linen, and the linen on the Titanic was actually made in the Conway Mill. Then in the 60s, people went to cotton rather than linen, so the mill trade just slowly died. Now the Conway Mill stayed open till 76. There's a lot of places around Belfast that had to close in the early 60s.
Produce the most millies though.
It does produce the most millies, yeah, right. And this place, oh my god, the attic, the drying room. I'll give you, there's like a metal staircase that links all three buildings, right? Seeing that staircase, if you want any of the Conway Mill stuff, go on to Paranormal Investigators NI Facebook page. There's loads of stuff up there. Go into the videos and pictures bits. But on them stairs, 3 in the morning, the one about, you'll hear people running up and down the stairs. And it's not an animal, children. It's sick. You know, you can hear proper footsteps. We've caught pictures of like people, like we a face looking between the bars, things like that. In the attic, another time that frightened me was, I think this was the first time like I actually got a proper jump scare. We were standing, I was standing recording everybody, everybody was in a circle and we were trying to do stuff. We were up in the attic, so everybody was down in the back, and I was about halfway up and then I was walking towards them, right? So I could see everybody on the camera, right? And from behind me, all I heard was, and it freaked me out, where I jumped and I went, "Who is that?" And everybody went, "We're all down here." I jumped around the rook, no one there. Right. Another one, in the, there's a place called the drying room.
I do remember them all. I remember that the attic was freaky. You went up in the dark and you'd climb through
the wee hole.
Up the, yeah, through the wee hole on the tennis ladder in the world.
Yeah. Drying room. There's a spirit of a child called, or a man called Robert there.
This is the one you were trying to antagonise when I was there.
So, I learned to get a deep respect for Robert because I think I got a bit of an attachment from him. Because I used to go in and shout and demand for him to leave stuff. Robert was the boss in the drying room, so all the sheets that were cleaned were brought down there and they were hung. If you go into the drying room, you'll see, as soon as you go in, look up left, you'll see like a chute where the chute used to be. It's blocked up now, but you look in the ceiling, you'll see all the hooks where they used to hang them from. Back in the 1920s, they didn't have regulations. Children were working there and they were working with hazardous products like bleach that would kill you. Everything, and they were inhaling it, and a lot of them would have died because of that. Now obviously they wouldn't have died in the place, but the effects from that. But there's a corner where people say that they felt Robert, things like that. I got him to react a load of times. Okay, you sort of like, you have to bravado him into doing it. But there was one time, now they've got like wooden frame around the drying room, has 2 levels, so there's a wooden frame around all the sides, right? Before it was just metal, so it was almost like a fence, but without the planks, you know, it just had the frame that you would hammer into, but it was just circle metal poles, like scaffolding, almost. And I was standing, when you go into the drying room in the right hand corner, I was standing at the rail, okay? In the drying room, see at the time, the windows, there was like cracks in the windows and you could feel the breeze coming in, right? And I was standing, there was a girl in front of me, I had moved back, I started feeling strange again. This is one of the other times I was outside of my body. I was feeling strange, I moved back and it was almost as if I was being sucked in again. the front of me was roasting and the back of me was freezing. The back of me is a brick wall, right? Like I said, the front, you're exposed to the wind. I felt flush.
Flush air with cold in the back.
Yeah. And the girl in front of me, I looked at her and I went, I want to throw her off the edge. I wanted to go and grab her legs.
Quite aggressive when you're possessed.
Yeah. Wanted to grab her legs and throw her over. And I had to leave the room. I just walked out. And then Donna came out and asked me, I was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I explained to her. She was like, right, don't be coming in there. And it actually got to the point where I used to wind them up so much.
I remember that they were almost slagging. Going, I had those going to go in there and Robert's going to...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I actually went in at one stage and apologised to Robert and explained why I was doing what I was doing. That's the thing with the paranormal. You have to treat the spirit as though it's human.
Still there, like I said,
it doesn't have a meat vessel, but...
I mean, its essence is still there.
Yeah. So the next place... The next place, if I could live in it, I would. And I've only been in a few of the rooms. Charvel Castle. We get introduced to Charvel Castle by Spook Troopers. We have such a good reputation in PINI that the paranormal community in Ireland is very small. And Keith contacted them. And they asked us to come down and be guests. And we've done such a good job. The girl Gillian actually planted people in groups to do fake stuff for us to try and catch them out. Okay. And we passed with flying colours. Like, we call it bullshit on bullshit. Right? See Charvel Castle? I don't know what it is. I've never been scared in that place. What was that?
I don't know. Are there really nothing trapped there?
Right, okay.
What did you do?
I didn't touch anything. I'm sitting in front of you.
Oh, I thought you'd seen something.
No, I'm seeing like a coin dropped.
I don't know, what actually was it? What's nothing on the floor? People are going to think this is smooth, but I swear to you, nah, I
don't. Oh, but fuck, I don't have mace.
Hopefully that was recorded.
Anyway. Seeing Charlotte Castle, I feel like I'm supposed to be there. Right? The castle was originally built, the building started in 1798 and it took 14 years to build. It still has the original oak floor in the main hall. It's absolutely amazing. See the roof? There's so many symbols, and if Jillian's listening to this, she's going to kill me because I forget the detail. She knows it all. Handcrafted in the ceiling, it's literally, I think it was about 6 feet deep, and the chisel down. Type in Charvel Castle and go to the images, and you'll see the main hall, and you'll see all the coat of arms and all the symbols that's linked with it. Absolutely amazing place. There's a spirit of Lady Emily there. She is the spirit that seems to run the place. I think there's the third herd or the fifth herd, one of the two, that resided there most of the time. See, when you see the size of this place, take 14 years to build, these people used this like a caravan in Donegal. Right? They literally, it was a holiday home to them. They would come, yeah, that's...
That's the third herd?
No, that's not it. I'll get the pictures up. C-H-A-R... Charvel Castle.
So
the spirits in this place interact with you. I think it's because of Jillian. That's what I was saying earlier. Jillian is able to do things with spirits that I've never seen. She can control them. Not control. Get the best out of them as much as she can. Right? And they will interact more with her. I learned from her, it's a respect thing. Where I used to go in and shout and bawl, once I went to Charvel and I listened to Jillian, every time after that I went on an investigation, I personally, by myself, walked around all the rooms that we were going to do, called out the spirits, told them who I was, what I was going to do and why I was doing it. And if they could interact with me, it's greatly appreciated. If they don't, if I come back, they might get to know me, they might open up. Sounds so stupid. And see, walking into an empty room and talking to yourself, you feel like an idiot at the start, but gradually it comes around. Give these spirits respect and they give you back so much. Like, we were down in the basement. We were down in the basement and there's devices that I'd never seen go off. There's like a shadow device. It's got, like, you know, like weak glue sticks. Could be a train. There's like weak glue sticks on it.
I'll figure out what all the noises are.
See, to try and get it to go off, like, you can go up and walk past it and wave your hand around it and it won't go off. But we were asking spirits to get this to go up and then back. So most of the time when it goes off, it'll go up and each stick will go off and it'll change colour, but it'll go from one side to the other.
Right.
We were asking it to go halfway and go back, and I was doing it. It was amazing. There's a great photo on the PINI page of Lady Harriet. She was the child of one of the earls. She was told to clean up and come down for dinner. You need to see, like, the head of the hallway, but she was sliding down the banisters and she fell from, like, the second floor or third floor and hit the concrete. Teddy Pryor, God bless her.
Wow.
But John was walking down the stairs from her room and he was taking photos, and he was the last flight of stairs he had to go down. He took a photo in the corner. Now, it's not where she would have landed, it's closer to the door, but there's an image there and we're all convinced that that's Lady Harriet.
It's on their Facebook page?
It's on the Facebook page. There's an energy about Charvel Castle. It's got ley lines running through it. See, in one of the rooms, it's got the...
So ley lines, that's the spur thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's like an energy field. Yeah. They run in certain directions and you can pull the natural energy from them. I could sit and talk about Charvel. Nothing has scared me in it. I've stayed in the place. I feel like I'm home. I actually felt almost in Wicklow jail when I was in that cell. I felt like I was meant to be there. And I'll finish on this wee tidbit, right? So there is more I could talk about and there is more that we have here, but I want to keep it to the hour mark. I'm not a big believer in signs and faith and this and that or the other, right? But when I was booking my wedding, we were doing, like, all the wee planning and things for that. And we went to the wedding show. Or sorry, before that, we were talking about chairs. We were looking for a specific type of chair. It's the type of chair, I forget what they're called, but it's like the stick back. No, you know, like most wedding chairs, they're just like normal hotel chairs with covers over them. You've got the sponge in the bottom and the sponge in the back. This one is like all the wee sticks. So you've got one along the top, two big ones at the side, and then a couple of wee small ones in the middle. So that one is at Lap Castle.
This one?
Yeah. And I was talking about... Jerry's face, can you see it on the right there? Anyway, I'm getting tight back. But we're looking, I'd said about my mum's dad and Shane's dad's dad, me. At the end of the table beside our parents, do we leave a spurs in an empty seat and put a name tag for one saying Jen and one saying John?
Yeah.
And Shane's like, no, that's dead morbid, why would you do that and all? That was grand. But Shane was flicking through Pinterest, that's a photo there.
Spotted it straight away, see that?
On Pinterest, she went to show her friend the chair that she wanted and what name was sitting on the chair. And on Pinterest, just random, typed it in, wedding style chair, Jen, right? So that was grand. We were in the wedding venue at the show in Titanic Quarter and we were looking around all the way, you know, the table settings. And the first one that she just lifted and looked at, what name was on it? John. And she went, oh my God, there's two signs. And I went, John is the most popular name, like one of the most popular men's names. it's just a coincidence. So we were walking out, and there was like a Volkswagen Beetle van, and we were literally leaving the place, and on the side of the van, the name Pearl, was her granny's name, was on the side of the van, and she went, oh my god, that's too freaky. So that was grand. We booked the wedding, picked the date. I'm like, I texted our Paul, I'm like, that's the date, book it off work. And he says, you know, that's my granny's birthday.
Wow.
And I was like, Jesus. So that was all mad. And that was all in the one weekend. And then a couple of months ago, we were looking at wedding plans, right? And we were looking. And see, when you're picking a wedding band, you know yourself, you hear the same five songs repeated. Like, see that song, Shut Up and Dance With Me? Can't stand it anymore. But we've seen a band, really liked them. Liked the video package and all they had. And I was looking at the video package. And then, I mean, I fucking know that. And Ed Sheeran come on, you know, Dancing in the Dark. And they go out to the hallway. What building was it?
Oh.
Charvel Castle. I just went, what the fuck? And
that
I just, you know, like I said, I'm not a person where people pick up feathers and go, oh my god, that's my dead granny. Or like,
see, it's better, I think it's,
yeah, whatever, like Peter Kay,
nice granny.
Pack of cheese and onion quavers, you know, all that. And I find it very hard to look past that. But if you like the paranormal, this paranormal episode, make sure that you share it. Let us know what you think of it.
Let us know what you want to hear more of. If there's something that Aldo touched on, and you went, here, that sounds interesting.
Mm.
Want to hear about that, whether it's the Irish history side of it, whether it's the
and like,
encounter side of it, whether it's the building side of it.
I could go into more stories about experiences that I've had. The Charvel one.
I think it's here. That
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, do you know that we stick that up on the
Instagram
page? But let us know what you think of this. If you like it and you want a couple more paranormal, if you want the PINI team to come on and tell you about their stories, or if you want a different paranormal team, I'm quite friendly with lots of people in the para community. So
give us a wee shout and let us know.
Hope you have
remember to leave us a 5-star review.
5-star review and tell a friend and tell another friend.
And
have a happy Halloween.
And tomorrow, because it's going to be released on Halloween. It's going to be released on Halloween, but tomorrow. It's